Welcome back to another episode of Afternoon Delight. It's Kyle Rush. It's Ben Taylor. And Ben, there are some new scumbags. Maybe they're not even, you would not even classify them as new.
No, they're the original. We just weren't doing Afternoon Delight during that time. I mean, that's why Will Wade was ousted to start with. He's been a scumbag.
He's back in the SEC.
Yeah.
You got two of the top three scumbags in the SEC at one school, at LSU. LSU has just said, screw everyone. Hate us if you want to. We're going to do every single dirty thing we can to win championships. I'm going to be honest. I got to respect it.
I don't hate it. I don't know about respect it, but I don't hate it.
There you go. Respected is probably the wrong words. Obviously, Will Wade gets fired from LSU for cheating, leaves, goes to McNeese State, then he goes to NC State. Now he's back at LSU, and you've got a guard that is signed, committed to LSU, that quite literally scored points in the NBA last year. Now, it was the preseason.
Doesn't matter.
This was not G League.
Doesn't matter.
This is NBA preseason, scored 6 actual points on an NBA roster with an NBA contract, and they are attempting to bring him back into college basketball. That's RJ Lewis. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know how to respond.
You didn't see the other one?
Yes, the other one's just as bad.
Yeah, I can't pronounce his name. But he's like a forward, and he has played for 2 clubs. The other guy has, and so it is fascinating to me. And here's the thing: when you talk about, I called him the original scumbag, and the reason I did is Kyle. He was investigated by the FBI. Like, I can't even say that about Nate Oates. Like, I you know what I mean? Like,
well, we don't know.
Well, yeah, that we know of. There could
be that we know of.
You know, I'll reach out to my informants within the FBI.
He had the FBI investigate some of his players, right?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. So
maybe they got involved. I don't know.
Maybe they gave his house a call. So, yeah, Will, and it's not just it. I'll go a step further. It ain't just basketball. We talk about Kiffin, probably one of the original scumbags. I do love him, but Coach O is back. They gave that man $17 million. He's put that away in the bank. Now they've rehired him. They gave him
Dude, you're jumping ahead. We got to that's a whole other conversation.
Well, then I was going to tell you even one that we probably won't talk about because it's baseball related. If you've listened to their head coach for the baseball team, he basically threw his own players under the bus during one of his press conferences. And he goes, you know, when I brought these transfers in, I just thought they'd be better than what they were. And they're just not very good. So therefore, we're not very good. And I'm like, goodness gracious, what kind of athletic department is taking place over at Louisiana State University?
I want to read up on this other. So obviously the RJ Lewis thing is wild.
Yeah.
Because he scored points and he did sign contracts, which feels like the biggest thing about the case against Bediako was the fact that he was a college basketball player. He then went into the draft, didn't get drafted, but signed NBA contracts and then tried to come back. And they're like, no, you can't do that. Well, that's literally what RJ Lewis did. Like, he went into the draft. I don't know if he got drafted. He signed an NBA contract. He scored points and played NBA minutes, albeit preseason. And now he's trying to come back. Like, what is the argument here?
From LSU standpoint, I don't know. I guess, hey, we'll sue the NCAA and see how long we can keep an injunction up and running to play him because we saw what Alabama tried to do. But clearly the precedent has been set this past year with Bediako that you can't do it.
It feels that way.
And they're going to use – I mean, that's how law works. I mean, you talk to any lawyer, they go on previous cases. I mean, and so they're going to point to that and go – well, this is what took place at the University of Alabama and what took place in Tuscaloosa County. So this is what we will be doing here in the state of Louisiana as far as this is concerned. Now, Maybe he's got some judges or lawyers in his pocket that we don't know about. I don't know, but I don't even know why he went down that road, because you've seen other coaches. I've forgotten which one it was. He was out west somewhere where he even went on records going, no, we're not going to go down that road. We saw what took place at Alabama. So there's no point in me reaching into the G League if they've already signed something. Now, if they are unsigned and, you know, played a couple of games, because there that is a such thing as kind of like a tryout deal. But one of them, Kyle, you mentioned drafted. I forgot if it was RJ or if it was the other one. One of them was drafted like 51st overall.
I'm looking at them. Is this the one that's from Croatia, Michael Ruzic?
No. It is. No. I can't even begin to pronounce his name. On Three had it, and I had to double check to make sure I wasn't reading the No Three, because that's the spoof account of it, and they use the exact same logo.
It's hilarious. It gets me every time.
It gets me every single. I've retweeted that so many times, and I had to check, but I think he's the one that got drafted. I think they said he was out of Senegal. I think he's out of Africa, and I couldn't pronounce his name, but I think he was the one that he's a forward.
Okay, here we go. Will Wade reportedly adds former second-round NBA draft pick, an Italian pro.
Italian pro, yeah.
To LSU basketball.
Who was drafted?
Saliao Niang. Committed to Will Wade's Tigers on Tuesday, according to Jeff Goodman. 6'6 forward, pursued by North Carolina. Let's see. I want to pull up the scenario. So he's obviously playing pro ball in Italy. Not that big of a deal. I mean, that's pro guys overseas come back and play all the time. I'm trying to say, I'll say he was selected with the 58th pick by the Cavs. He played in three games on the Cavaliers summer league team and returned to playing overseas.
He didn't sign a contract. He could not have signed a contract then.
Yeah. He never actually played college basketball. So do you have an argument there for now because he didn't like play at L? I don't know.
My thing is not that did he play college basketball. My thing is did he sign a contract? If he didn't sign a contract, I'm totally okay with him playing.
With the
because
NBA.
He's that the rules stipulate that he can't play. This was the argument you and I were getting to online with Alabama people about the Bediako situation. They don't understand how contracts work. Like, it's clearly stated in the rules. Once you sign a contract, you have foregone your eligibility at an amateur university or amateur status. So that rule does not exist for European players. And I know that's tough for some of them to swallow, but the first guy, RJ Lewis, he signed a couple of contracts. And he, as you just said, he got 6 points in a game.
In a preseason game, not the summer league, a preseason game. And I know people are going to be like, oh, well, Mantas played in a summer league game for the Warriors. And he did, but he never signed an NBA contract.
It comes down to signing a contract. It's just the paper. And once you sign the paper, you waive your rights. That is, it's no different, Kyle, than signing a non-disclosure agreement, NDA. Once you sign it, you've waived your rights.
Yeah.
In a marriage situation, which you and I don't have the money to do it, but if we came from a ton of money, you know, a prenup, the bride has waived her rights that in the prenup. And it's the same way with, or vice versa. Maybe the bride's rich. Maybe the husband, maybe the groom is waiving his rights in a prenup. I don't know. Clearly he signed a contract for two different teams, played in a preseason game, bounced around in college to a couple of teams, and Will Wade went and got him, and he's like, we'll make it work.
Yeah, it's like, wild.
Buddy, it hasn't worked. Like, they've told other people, yeah, but this one's different. No, if he signed the paper, it's the same.
I got to hand it to Will Wade. His GAF meter is like zero.
He should walk around with a shirt that has the middle finger right on the front of it.
You would think you would, you know, I'm happy to be back. I'm going to tread lightly. I'm just going to kind of ease on in there. No, Nah, he says, I don't GAF. So I'm ready to go do whatever I can to win.
Kyle, I've talked about how I would like to trade positions with people. You know who I wouldn't trade with?
Who's that?
The athletic director at LSU. You got Will Wade.
Apparently he doesn't have – he's a zero on that same meter.
Will Wade, Lane Kiffin, Ed Ogeron, now a baseball coach that's throwing his players under the bus. Like when they lose, it's like, buddy, you got so much.
That doesn't bother me. That doesn't bother me that much. And now, if you go try to go get pro guys to come play on your team, like that's kind of jacked up. But
it's more along the lines of the
rough talking your players doesn't bother me.
No, it doesn't bother me, but it's more along the lines of just the PR nightmare that you've got surrounding you that you're always going to have to. There's never going to be questions about the success of your program. The questions will always be about the individuals that are leading to the success of your program. And as a leader and as an athletic director, you got to get tired of answering those questions from time to time. And like you just said, especially when you got a coach like Will Wade, that's got the middle finger on the front of his shirt and, you know, something on the back that says, thanks for playing or something like that. Like he clearly does not give a, you know, what, I would even go as far as to say, what his bosses think.
It's like that Anchorman when the dog ate the cheese out of the refrigerator. It's like, I'm not even mad. That's amazing. I'm not even mad, Will Wade. That's amazing that you're doing this.
Yeah, he is clearly, he's the original douchebag, but since he was not coaching in the SEC, Kyle and I couldn't do a show on him. But now that he's back, he may get a little more douchebag coverage than, say, Nate Oates does.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask you. Does he now move ahead of Nate?
No, because Nate coaches for Alabama. So in our world,
gotcha.
He's still a douchebag.
It's scumbag, not scumbag. Douchebag.
Excuse me.
Come on, sorry. Let me get it right.
Well, you haven't made my shirt yet. So when you make my shirt, I'll start using scumbag more.
Anything else you want to add to this story? Because I got a story.
You do have a story. No, I'm just. We will continue. Now we got to come up with something that is purple and gold that says scumbag on it and something that is red and white that says scumbag on it. And Kyle's going to make sure you guys go to aushirts.com and we'll have something released at some point, especially when he gets closer to basketball.
I'm going
to
make one. It's going to say GAF equals zero or GAF meter and then have it on zero for Will Wade.
That's for Will funny. Wade. Unbelievable stuff. So, I'm curious though, Kyle.
There's no way RJ Lewis can play basketball.
There's no way, and if it is,
zero way that can happen.
It's what you and I just talked about a few months ago about Bediako. It's going to open the floodgates across college basketball if that's the case.
Yeah,
it's over. It's going to be one of those things where it's like, oh, it doesn't matter anymore. Like, go recruit a guy out of the G League that clearly is not going to get NBA minutes, and just bring him on your team and let him finish his career. As long as he falls in the 5-year window, that's all that's going to matter.
I don't even know how RJ falls in that window. So that's really crazy.
He only did 2 years of college ball, so he's clearly not in the – he's, you know, from 18 to – he's probably 20, 21. So he's not past that 24 meter yet as far as that window is concerned.
He played 3 years – he played 1 year at UMass and 2 years at St. John's.
Oh, so he's got 3 years. And then last year in the pros, he'd be a one and done.
I guess he got one year left.
Yeah, he'd be one and done.
It's just crazy. It's crazy. All right, we got to shout out some sponsors really quick. I got a story about this one, but I want to tell everybody about it. Got to go to Precision Tune Auto Care in Opelika. It's at the corner of Pepperell Parkway and Veterans Parkway. They're now open at 7 a.m. So if you want to get in early and drop the car off or get something done before work, they're open at 7 a.m. If you go in now, you can take advantage of their Beat the Heat special for our listeners only, where you can make sure your AC system is pumping out the cool air as the temperatures go up. I got that done this morning, and it was fantastic. And also, you can tell them you're a Barn listener, and you can get a $50 oil change, which is spectacular. So show them some love. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. Now, I got to tell you about my experience at Precision Tune this morning, okay? And this is not on them, okay? This is on me being pure uncultured swine is what this is, okay?
I wish we could bring up the screenshots of the text messaging between me and you.
No, no. I mean, okay, so first of all, the experience there is incredible. Like, they've redone their quote-unquote lounge. It was like an old – clearly it was like an old showroom for some – like an
– That's the auto. Original – that's the original AT&T building, buddy.
There you go. There you go. Well, it's got this awesome – lounge area, nice plush chairs, beautiful coffee bar, snack bar. You can get the boiling water to do the hot tea. Like, really, really nice area. So, like, if you do need to stay there while a service is being done, it ain't bad. You know what I mean? Like, you got a bunch of TVs. It's real nice. So, I go to the bathroom, okay, and really nice, really clean bathroom. That's another thing. You don't think of that when you think, you know, auto shop. And I look at the toilet seat, and the toilet seat looks different to me. Like, it's not a normal toilet seat. It's thicker, okay, than a normal toilet seat. And it's got, look, like what looks like a hydraulics thing on the side, all right? And there's a knob. And I was like, it must be like – so people don't have to, if you don't want to touch the toilet seat and lift it, you know, lift it up and down, you know, you just kind of turn this knob and it may, I guess it just raises on its own. That's my thought, you know, because we're in an auto shop. We're not in a spa. So I go to turn the knob and Ben, I'm not kidding or exaggerating when I say that it almost blew my hat off when the jet stream of water hit me between the eyes, like in the forehead. And it's a bidet, which I have zero experience with. And
clearly, you have zero experience, like even seeing one.
I'm discombobulated, possibly pre-concussed, and I'm trying to figure out how to turn this knob, like turn this water off. So I turn it, and all that does is increases the intensity to where now I'm thinking, okay, like I'm trying to think in like to give you some scale. I would say from the door to the back wall, it was one of those where you walk in and on the opposite side of the wall, right when you walk in, is the toilet and sink. So that's what, probably 7 feet?
Yeah.
7 feet. Okay. Yeah. So from the toilet, when the intensity goes up, it's shooting from out of the toilet to the top of the door, okay, across the thing at an incredible rate. So I turn it again, and I'm in a complete panic mode. I turn it again, and then it just starts pulsating like a sprinkler head. Oh my gosh,
you made it worse.
So I turn it again, and finally it goes off, and it looks like the amount of water is absurd in that short amount of time. Like, I'm talking – I'm in, like, it's seeping under the door, Ben. Like, it's that bad. It's dripping off of the, it's dripping. It's, and I start laughing. Like, I can't stop laughing. Like, it's the funniest. I couldn't wait to tell you about it. I couldn't stop laughing. So I'm getting paper towels and I'm in there cleaning up because I'm like, gosh, I don't want to be, I mean, these guys are depending on us to, you know, sponsor them. And here I am soaking the whole bathroom.
Yeah, here you are
with the bidet.
Redneck come to town with a bidet. It's like taking somebody that's been using an outhouse their whole life and giving them indoor plumbing. That's exactly. Kyle, and he walks in there. Here's the part. So I get a text from Kyle, and he says, "Hey man," he said one of our sponsors. And just the deal that he just talked about. You know, you get a $50 oil change between 7 and 9. Come by, blah blah blah. And I'm like, okay, you know, whatever, cool. So that's awesome. But then and in other news. There's a bidet in here, and I just sent water everywhere because I didn't know what it was, and I decided to turn it on.
Yeah. The amount of water was just crazy. So
this is why she has two boys in the house.
Yeah.
Not a dad and a son.
No, I'm a child.
She's got two kids in the house, and it's stories like this that your poor wife has to deal with.
Now, first of all, that's just – I'm telling you that story just to talk about the level of place this is. Like, it's super nice. Like, I was there, so I had the I got the AC inspection and compression test, and so that takes like 30 to 45 minutes, and then I got the oil change on top of that. So I'm there for like, I don't know, right around an hour or so, and like it didn't feel like I was there an hour. Like it was super comfortable. But I'm telling the story just to kind of – it's funny, but it's also like just show you how much they've elevated all the services that go along with here.
I don't know that they placed a bidet in there.
But in my defense, okay, who would have ever expected that to be a bidet? Like I just don't know. Unless you have the exact same one at your house, we're not at a spa. You know what I mean?
No, you made a good point. Like, nobody would ever think to go to a service area and there be a bidet.
Yeah.
However, I got to be honest with you. If I walk in and I see things that look like two toilets, I'm kind of wondering, Kyle.
It's not two toilets, though. Like, I can't really explain it. It's like, it's just a really thicker lid. And then it's got a knob on the side. Maybe that should have been a sign.
Maybe you should mind your business and not touch things that you don't know what they are. Maybe that's
bro. You gotta explore. You gotta explore when you see new things.
He's sitting there and he's like, "I wonder what this does." Bad decision. That's what that does.
So when you go to Precision Tune, you go to the restroom. All I want you to do is look when you get to the toilet. Turn and look at the opposite wall, and look at the height of the door. And know that I was bombarding the door seal at the top of it with water for like a good 5 seconds and couldn't figure out how to get it off. Like the humor alone is worth going and checking it out.
I will tell you this too, and I'll go ahead and give him a nod because Kyle told me this story. One story you didn't tell here, and this is more on the serious side. So his wife's car was doing something funky, and he was close to it, and he went into those guys, and Kyle and I know nothing about cars.
No. So, you could fleece me.
Yes. Like, if they would have said, "Oh, bro, you got to do this, this, and this," Kyle would be like, "Well, I got to drive it home, so yeah, just do it." I mean,
yeah.
And so, but they literally came out and they were like, "It's really nothing major here. This is, we took care of it. This is," and it was hardly anything. Yeah. And his wife's car is fine now. It just was one of those sensor things that went off, and she was freaked out. And of course, being a good husband, he wanted to get it seen about and didn't want to make it worse by driving all over the place. And so took it in there, and those guys took care of him, and appreciate those guys listening to their, you know, their Afternoon Delight listeners and Barn listeners. So shout out to those guys for taking care of Kyle. Now it's our job to educate you not to use the bidet like Kyle did when you're standing across the room.
Be aware.
Be aware. Yeah.
But like, here's another example, Ben. So like I got the free performance evaluation, the free system pressure test, the free vent temperature analysis. And they brought me out there and they're like, "So like, why did you want to have this done? 'Cause your AC is like running like absolutely flawlessly." I was like, "Well, I just, you know, I want to be able to share the experience." And like, by the way, that kind of echoes what I'm talking about. Like they could have done that test and told me, "Hey, bro, you got to have this done," and I would have done it. But they're like, "No, it's flawless. Your AC is perfect." Yeah. So that's just that kind of thing, man. It's good to have folks you can trust. And we just did like that was like a 13-minute ad read. How about that?
That's what we call it. It's what we call a testimonial in the business, Kyle.
It's so funny, man. It's so funny. I told everybody. I called my dad. I called everybody. I was like, "Y'all are not going to believe what I just did." It's just the funniest thing that's happened in quite some time.
Good dudes over there. Head over there, corner of Veterans and Pepperell.
Yeah, there you go.
Right when you get into Opelika. And they've done stuff with us at our radio station, too. So shout out to
good
them.
People.
I'll have to keep in mind the bidet when I go over there next time.
Yeah, beware. It's got some pressure. Y'all take it easy. We'll talk again tomorrow. We're out of here, War Eagle.
War damn Eagle.